کنج بہار گوپی جنا ولبھا جے گری وردھا جایا جشودانندن برج جن رنجن جمنا تیرا بن سار جے جے رادھا مادھو جے کنج بہار ہرے کرشنا 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 ہرے 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 رام 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 ہرے ہرے کرشنا 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 ہرے 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 رام ہرے رام 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 ہرے ہرے گوپیناتھ رادھ رادھے جے جے پربھوپاد جے پربھوپاد وشنوپاد پرمہنس پروجکاچاریا اشٹوتر شت شریمدی سیوائنگریس اے سی بھکتی ویدانت سوامی شیل پربھوپاد کی جے جے اوم وشنوپاد پرمہنس پروجکاچاریا اشٹوتر شت شریمدی سیوائنگریس بھکتی سدھانت سرسوتی گوسوامی مہاراج شیل پربھوپاد کی جائے انت کوٹی وشو برند کی جائے نامچاریہ شیل ہریداس ٹھاکر کی جائے پریم سے کہو شری کرشن چیتنیا پربھو نتیانند شری ادوائت گداادھر شیوا سدی گور بھکت وند کی جائے شری شری رادھا کرشن گوپ گوپینا श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की जय। ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र से जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। गंगा मैया जमुना मैया की जय। भक्ति देव श्री तुलसी महारानी की जय। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। राम राम हरे हरे। ओम ज्ञान सिमरंदस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाशाद देशधारी श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण। Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10, and verse number 33. अथ दुरागतान् शौरी कौरवान् विदहातुरान् सन्निवर्त्य दृढं स्निग्धान् प्रायत्स्वनगरीन् प्रयः। अथ दुरागतान् शूरी अथ दुरागतान् शूरिः कौरवान् विरहातुरान् सन्निवर्त्य दृढं स्निग्धान् प्रायत्स्व नगरीं प्रियः। Mataji's translation purported by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. Translation: out of profound affection for Lord Krishna, the Pandavas, who were of the Kuru dynasty, accompanied him a considerable distance to see him off. They were overwhelmed with the thought of future separation. The Lord, however, persuaded them to return home, and he proceeded towards Dwarka with his dear companions.
So this shloka has no purport. So we'll read the translation and purport of the text number 34 and 35. Translation. O Shaunaka, the Lord then proceeded towards Kuru Jangala, Panchala, Surasena, the land on the bank of the river Jamuna, Brahmavarta, Kurukshetra, Matsya, Sarasvataha, the province of the desert and the land of scanty water. After crossing his provinces, he gradually reached the Sauvira and Abhira provinces. Then he, west of these, reached Dwarka at last. Purport. The provinces passed over by the Lord in those days were differently named, but the direction given is sufficient to indicate that he travelled through Delhi, Punjab, Rajasthan, Madhya Pradesh, Saurashtra and Gujarat, and at last reached his home province at Dwarka. We do not gain any profit simply by researching the analogous provinces of those days up to now. But it appears that the desert of Rajasthan and the provinces of scanty water like Madhya Pradesh were present even 5,000 years ago. The theory of soil experts that the desert developed in the recent years is not supported by the statements of Bhagavatam. We may leave the matter for expert geologists to research, because the changing universes that the Lord has now reached his own province. Dwarka Dham from the Kuru provinces. Kurukshetra continues to exist in the Vedic age, and it is in sheer foolishness when interpreted, ignore or deny the existence of Kurukshetra. ओम ज्ञान चिमरम दस्य ज्ञान जन शुलाके चक्षु प्रवेशन रसमय श्री गुरु नमः हरे कृष्ण ब्यूटीफुल परपोर्ट हियर दिस मेंशन दैट ऑल द पांडवास दे आर नाउ फीलिंग इंटेंस सेपरेशन फ्रॉम कृष्णा बिकॉज दे नो वंस लॉर्ड कृष्णा गोज टू द्वारका ही इज नॉट कमिंग बैक अगेन सो विल नेवर सी हिम अगेन सो देयरफॉर out of affection and love for Krishna, they went up to the outskirts of the city to see him off. So the devotees of Krishna, they are so attached to him, they cannot live without him even for a second. This is the attachment between the devotees and Krishna. So today we will also discuss the beautiful pastimes of one more devotee of Krishna, that is Tulasi Maharani. Today is also the end of the Jaldan of Tulasi Maharani. So today we'll try to discuss the glories of Tulasi Maharani. Tulasi Maharani, she appeared in this material world during the churning of the milk ocean. This is Krishna's special mercy and blessings for those throughout this material world, so that they can serve Krishna through Tulasi Maharani. She is so dear to Krishna, sometimes even Prabhupada also writes in the purport, she is more dear to Krishna than even Lakshmi. Although Lakshmi resides eternally at the chest of Narayana, but sometimes she has to leave Narayana because she has to fulfill the desires, wishes of her devotees. So, but Tulasi Maharani, she never leaves the lotus feet of Krishna. That is her glory. In the material world, she is called Holy Basil or a queen of all plants. The medical science, they also know, and they have given certificate, they know that Tulasi Maharani, she is the best medicinal plant on this earth. The doctors say this, all the scientists, they say this is the best medicinal plant on this planet Earth. So there are many material, you know, from the point of view of mundane achievements, there are many benefits offered by Tulasi Maharani. that simply by, actually there are many types of diseases are eradicated by aroma of Tulsi Maharani. Simply by smelling the aroma of Tulsi Maharani, many types of diseases are eradicated. If someone drinks the warm juice of Tulsi Kada, then all the stomach worms are killed. See, the Tulsi Maharani's leaves Kada also cures cough and cold. Tulsi leaves contain anti-stress qualities, antibacterial, antifungal, antiviral, and it also enhances the digestion system. Tulsi Maharani's leaves, they help lose weight. It also helps in detoxification of our body, and it also boosts our immunity. So there are hundreds of material benefits for our this body. So we don't have so much time to mention everything here. So now we'll discuss the spiritual importance and the glories of Tulsi Maharani, which are described very elaborately in many shastras like Skanda Puran, Padma Puran, Garuda Puran, and many other literatures. Tulsi Maharani, she is so dear to Krishna that especially in Kali Yuga, Krishna leaves all his holy places and all the sacred mountains, and he resides in Tulsi Maharani or near Tulsi Maharani, in the forest of Tulsi Maharani. The Puranas also explain that whatever tirthas, holy places, sacred places are present on this planet Earth, especially in Kali Yuga, all those holy places, they take shelter at the leaves, in the leaves of Tulsi Maharani. So when we worship Tulsi Maharani, that means we are worshipping all the holy places. It is mentioned that all the gods of the heavenly planet, they reside at the roots of Tulsi Maharani. All the celestial beings, they reside at the middle part of Tulsi Maharani. And all the Vedas and Vedic literatures, they reside on the top side or top part of the Tulsi Maharani. So in this way, Tulsi Maharani covers everyone and everything. It is mentioned in the Puranas that if someone performs Shraddha of his ancestors in the forest of Tulsi groves or under the shade of Tulsi Maharani, it is like the equivalent of performing Shraddha at Gaya. And when one offers the Mahajala, which is offered to Shaligram or Krishna, along with the Tulsi Maharani, when one offers this Mahajal and Tulsi Maharani to one's ancestors, Pitras, then what happens? All the Pitras, ancestors become completely tripped, satisfied, as if they are fed with the water and jal and the food for 10,000 years, just by performing Shraddha at the lotus feet of Tulsi Maharani. Without Tulsi Maharani, without these leaves of Tulsi, Krishna never accepts any bhoga. Even if someone offers 56 or unlimited types of bhoga, Krishna will never offer. Krishna will never accept. So Shastra says that if the Tulsi leaves are not available, then you can offer dry leaves. If there are no dry leaves, you can offer the bark of Tulsi tree. If the barks of the Tulsi trees are not available, you can offer the twigs. If the twigs are not offered available, at last you can offer Tulsi Maharani mentally to Krishna. But without Tulsi Maharani's presence, Krishna will not accept any bhoga. Shastra explained that whichever house, whichever court at, whichever place Tulsi Maharani is residing, that place never falls with a bad omen or bad times. Tulsi Maharani removes all the diseases, all the miseries, and all the sufferings of the dwellers of the house. All the householders who are staying in the house, she removes everything without even asking. Sometimes when we worship the demigods, you have to go in front of them, you have to ask for some material benedictions. Tulsi Maharani understands your needs. You don't even have to ask something from her. She fulfills all the desires and she removes all the suffering, miseries and diseases. And she, Shastra explains, she eats away all the inauspiciousness happening in and around of the house. She eats away that inauspiciousness. This is Tulsi Maharani's blessings. Shastra explains, even if there is a most sinful hunter or a sinful person, throughout his life he simply committed sin. But at the time of death, his mouth is covered with tulsi, eyes are covered with tulsi, head also is covered with tulsi. So what is his destination? Yamraj and Yamadutas, they have no rights to go close to that person. Shastra explains this. Now sometimes someone may say, this is too much. Is it not an exaggeration that so much of glory of one small insignificant plant? So Shastra explains, no. If you don't understand the importance of Tulsi and the glories of Tulsi, that means we are underestimating the mercy and compassion of Krishna. If you see, all the 8,400,000 species of life, except human being, all other species, there is no scope for self-realization, God consciousness, or liberation or salvation. Only in a human body one can even try to understand who God is. So therefore Krishna knows, during all these other species, I cannot do any help. I cannot help these animals, birds, reptiles. But now at least in human body, I will try my best to help them, to bring them close to me. Therefore Krishna goes to any extent to offer his help to the living entities. Therefore, just like, you know, all the gods in the heavenly planet, they can be described by one word. Like Indra, if you want to describe who is Indra or what is Indra, then Indra means prowess, power. Shiva, he is a dhira purusha, very calm, peaceful. Even amidst the annihilation or amidst all the hobgoblins and hostly beings, he is very calm, dhira. Brahma, intelligence. Kubera, wealth. Lakshmi, wealth. Then Saraswati, knowledge. Again, Durga, power. So, if you want to describe all these gods in one word, how will you describe Radha and Krishna? Our acharyas explain. Love and compassion. Krishna is love personified and Sri Radha is compassion personified. So therefore, we cannot fathom, we cannot comprehend what Krishna's mercy is. Krishna goes to, actually, the Krishna system is, Krishna can never see bad. Even if the bad is throughout his life or someone's person's life or anywhere, only bad is existing. But Krishna, the system of Krishna's body is, he can never see bad. He can only see good. That is his problem. Krishna's problem is that he can never see bad. He can only see good. And therefore, even if Krishna says, okay, oh, this person committed sinful acts throughout his life, but at least at the end of his life, he is ready to surrender.
he's changed his desire. He has some faith at least. He wants to surrender to me. Therefore, he's wearing kanthimala or a tulsi or applying this tulsi on his all over his body. That means he has some faith in me. Let me give him chance. That person may not be get the liberation, go back to God at a Vaikuntha planet. But just like Ajamil, he got a second chance. Yamadutas did not come close to Ajamil. But Ajamil got the second chance. Similarly, even if a person who is very sinful, but if he gets the blessings of Tulsi Maharani at the time of death, that person will be saved from the clutches of Yamadutas and he will be given a second chance to continue his devotional service. So Krishna, especially Sri Radha, is compassion personified. And Brinde Devi Tulsi Maharani is a manifestation, partial expansion of Sri Radha's compassion. Just imagine, any person, ordinary person in this world can show so much of compassion, daya, to others. Sri Radha is a supremely compassionate personality. Her compassion is like oceanic, unending, unlimited. And all that compassion, Tulsi Maharani is carrying all that compassion, and she has appeared in this world. Actually, her cause of her, existence here in this material world, simply to accept some service from us. And why Krishna always stays close to Tulsi Maharani? Krishna is hoping that at least perhaps someone may come and offer some unbroken Tulsi to me. And if someone offers Tulsi along with a sandalwood paste at the lotus feet of Krishna, that is the highest service one can render to Krishna. Even bigger than giving a donation of millions of dollars or donating a cow or going to the holy places or Tirthasthan, anywhere. One who offers Tulsi along with a sandalwood paste at the lotus feet of Krishna, that is the highest service a living entity can perform for Krishna. Amazing. Krishna's compassion potency, especially Sri Radha, she has five branches. She has five agents. She has five associates, Parshad. And who are they? The first is pure devotees of Sri Radha. Second is Krishna Prasad. Third is holy places like Vrindavan, Mathura, Jagannath Puri. The fourth is holy name. And fifth is Tulsi Maharani. Now please listen. These five Parshad of Sri Radha, they are illogically compassionate towards living entities. There is no end of compassion of these five personalities. Sometimes even Shastras, like Puranas, Vedas and Upanishads, they also take objection against these five elements, these five personalities. They say, you cannot do this. This person is so sinful. He actually destined to go to the Yamaraj, abode of Yamaraj. But Tulsi Maharani, simply by your touch, this person is freed from the clutches of Yamadutas. And Prasad, and the holy place, and holy name, and the devotees. Because the compassion of these five personalities, you cannot put logic on that. If you go according to scriptures and Shastra, although Shastra take the objection against these five personalities, but these five personalities, they don't care. This is Sri Radha's causeless mercy. Tulsi Maharani's appearance in this world, Prasada's appearance, holy places and devotees and holy name, this appearance is purely compassion. It has no logic, no karma or the laws of karma as applicable here. Some days back, one devotee posted one article in our RG group. Prabhupada
decided, or Prabhupada's disciples, they decided to install Prabhupada's vigraha, deity, even in the presence of Prabhupada. Generally, the deities are installed after the person's departure. But when the devotees, disciples of Prabhupada, they decided, okay, we'll have Prabhupada's desire, and Prabhupada also agreed. So one, I think, Sri Sampradaya devotee from Andhra Pradesh, he was a well-wisher of ISKCON. He really loved Prabhupada. He flew from Andhra Pradesh, came to Mumbai just to meet Prabhupada. And he said, Swamiji, actually according to Shastra, as long as a person is living on this planet, his deity should not be installed or made. Because if your deities are worshipped in your presence, you will get the karmas of like unlimited people of this world. And it is very detrimental for your health. Prabhupada's response was unbelievable. Prabhupada said, I came for that purpose. I came to this world only to accept the karmas of this world. Now where will you put logic? So similarly, just like Prabhupada, he just came to accept the karmic reactions of this world. Similarly, Tulasi Maharani, her causeless mercy, she simply, whoever offers dandavat pranam or circumambulates 3 times, 4 times the Tulasi Maharani, that person's sins are already evaporated. This is the glory of Tulasi Maharani. We also have this shloka, yani kani cha papani brahma hatyadi kani cha tani tani pranashanti pradakshina pade pade. That one becomes free from even the sin of killing a brahmana. Sometimes it appears, is it a karma kanda? One devotee had asked this question to Radhana Swami Maharaj. We have this such a high Tulasi Arati, you know, such a conjugal mood. But then at the end of the Tulasi Arati, we have yani kani cha papani, again comes back to the lower side. Like a karma kanda. But actually it is not karma kanda. Many times devotees think that Krishna bhakti or devotional service is performed only for Krishna prema. But you cannot become free from all your other duties and other grahas and the gods and then ancestors and these and that. So we have to do some separate pujas and these and that. Even devotees also have this kind of understanding. So to take care of this understanding, therefore Tulasi Maharani and Ganga Mata. Worship of Ganga Mata appears like a karmakand, but it's a part of devotional service. Tulasi Maharani, if someone worships Tulasi Maharani removes all the negative energy of your house. Tulasi Maharani, Vastu Shastra? Vastu. If someone has a Vastu problem in his house, if you just place Tulasi Maharani at the center of your house, at the Brahmastan, and also at the courtyard in the Brahmastan, all the Vastu negativity, negative energy, that also is taken care. Although it appears like Karmakand, but it is a pure devotional service. Why would you think that, you know, Krishna cannot give you material benedictions? For that you have to approach for other gods and this, that? Krishna says, Ananya Chintayanto Mam Yajana Pariupasate Tesham Yukta Vimatyanam Yogaksham Vahamyam. Whatever the needs of my devotees, I personally fulfill those needs. So when we have this understanding in our mind that for some material gain I have to approach this god and do this yajna and do other things, it gives pain to Krishna's heart. Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Paritecha Maam Ekam Sharanam Raja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshesham Mahashucha. When you surrender to me, I make you free from all the sinful reactions, and then there are no more duties and responsibilities for you to perform anything. But sometimes the devotees have this kind of ideas. Therefore, when Dhruva Maharaj performed tapasya for 6 months, and he had a desire. He wanted a kingdom greater than his father, greater than his great-grandfather, greater than the great-great-grandfather, Brahmaji. Now tell me, which God has the power, which demigod has the power to fulfill the desire of Dhruva Maharaj? Even Brahmaji cannot fulfill, because Brahmaji has universe and Dhruva Maharaj wants a kingdom greater than Brahmaji. So how the Brahmaji can fulfill his desire? Only Vishnu, Narayan can satisfy. And therefore Krishna, when he appeared in front of Dhruva Maharaj, but he became purified. He said, "My dear Krishna, I don't want anything." Krishna said, "No, I will give you." Otherwise people will think that when you perform devotional service to Krishna, Krishna only purifies your material desire and he gives you pure bhakti and then no more material opulences. Therefore Krishna offered him a spiritual planet. Polestar, Dhruva Tara is not a part of material world. It's the expansion of Vaikuntha planet. Therefore it is greater than the kingdom of Brahmaji. So therefore Tulasi Maharani, Ganga Mata and all these devotees, they appear here only to accept services from people like us. Tulasi Maharani never goes back to Godhead. Although she is present in the spiritual world, but her one form of expansion is also eternally present in this material world, so that she will give her blessings to every Jivatma. Tulsi Maharani is so special. One of our acharya writes, when we wear kanti mala very close to our neck, throat, while taking bath, when the water touches to this Tulsi kanti mala, that water becomes the holy tirtha of all the, it becomes a tirtha, jal of all the holy places. Even while taking bath, just when you pour water on your head and it touches the Tulsi Maharani, it is like you are taking bath in all the holy places. That is the glory of Tulsi Maharani. And why she appears in such a simple form? So that even the poorest of all poor can afford Krishna's service. Amazing personality Krishna is. Offering a simple water with a tulsi leaves. Now who, even a beggar who doesn't have even a single penny in his pocket, he can also serve Krishna. That is Tulsi Maharani's special blessings. One time one devotee, disciple of Prabhupada, Nanda Kumar Prabhu, his neck beads, kanti mala broke. So he wanted to restring it. So he kept it aside. And meanwhile he went to meet Srila Prabhupada and to his room. Prabhupada saw that Nanda Kumar Prabhu is not wearing kanti mala. He said, "Where are your kanti malas, neck beads?" Then he explained to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, "Do you understand the seriousness? Do you understand the dangerous, danger of staying in this world without wearing, putting on kanti mala?" Prabhupada, as it is words, exact words. In this world, material world, death can come at any time. So if you have no neck beads around your neck, then Yamdutas will come. So therefore, we should wear tulsi mala, kanti mala. So Nanda Kumar Prabhu said, almost like 50 years, he never removed Tulsi Mala from his neck. That is Tulsi's blessings. Then Prabhupada said, this Tulsi Mala is like a collar belt. Just like pet dogs, they have a collar belt. And this is our collar belt. So when Yamaraj, he sees these Tulsi beads, neck beads around the neck of a devotee, he said, "He's a pet dog. Don't shoot him down." This is Prabhupada's version. One time, Lord Ramachandra Lakshman, along with their guru, Vishwamitra, they were walking towards Mithila. They wanted to take part in the marriage of Sitamai. On the way, they were traveling through a beautiful forest. But at one particular place, they saw, although it was a part of the forest, but it has become like a desert. All the trees had become dried up, all the grasses dried up, all the birds and the animals, they fled away. No one was staying over there. And it was Gautam Rishi's ashram. Gautam Rishi also was not there. But Gautam Rishi had cursed his wife Ahalya to become a stone. Now, but Lord Ramachandra, Lakshman and Vishwamitra, they went to that ashram. Afterwards, Vishwamitra Muni, he observed on that stone that Ahalya had become transformed as a stone. On the top of the stone, there was a beautiful, green, luscious Tulsi Marani blossoming. There were no trees, no bushes, no grass, no birds, no animals. But there was only one single plant, Tulsi plant. And then Vishwamitra Muni writes, this is because of the pure blessings of Tulsi Marani, Lord Ram was dragged towards this stone. Otherwise, there was no scope for Ahalya Mata's deliverance. Because there was a Tulsi plant, and it became like some cause for Lord Ramchandra to come to this ashram. So Tulsi Marani, she is so dear to Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, Narad Muni, he went to one forest and he met one hunter, Mrigari. So Mrigari, he was so sinful, he was killing animals like thousands every day. So Narad Muni went and he started preaching to him. Finally Mrigari was convinced, but he said, my dear Guru, my dear spiritual master, how will I maintain my life and maintain the life of my family? How will we survive? Then Narad Muni, beautifully, Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, Nadi tire ek khane kutir kariya, tar aage ek pindi tulasi ropiya. Narad Muni, now see, this is a different yuga, not even Kali Yuga. He could have given him so many other processes. But he understood he is a hunter. He will not understand any philosophy or yajna or karmakanda, this, that. He said, you break your bow and arrow, leave your house, go to the bank of river and construct a small cottage and grow a small tulsi plant on a raised platform. And then Narad Muni says, beautiful next verse, tulasi parikrama kara, tulasi sevan, nirantara Krishna nama, kariha kirtan. Amazing. Very simple process. Now, after growing the tulsi on the raised platform, you simply do circumambulation, parikrama of the Tulsi Maharani, water the Tulsi Maharani, offer obeisances to Tulsi Maharani, and sit next to Tulsi Maharani and chant Hare Krishna mantra continuously. And then he says, Ami tomai bahu anna patha yenu dine sei anna lave jata khau dui jane. So if you follow my instruction, if you just simply chant in the presence of Tulsi Maharani, then whatever your needs are, I will provide you the food. Sufficient food, so that you eat as much you want. It is mentioned in chapter. You eat as much you want, Narad Muni says this. And it happened. When the villagers, they came to know that this hunter has become devotee, they came to the sea, darshan, take darshan of this hunter, and they were bringing some food. So this Mrigari was thinking that my Guru Maharaj is sending me food. So Narad Muni gave him such a beautiful and very such a simple process. By chanting Hare Krishna mantra in front of Tulsi Maharani, he became free from all the sinful reactions. Not only becoming free from sinful reactions. See, sinful reaction, you can become free from sinful reaction by any other means. Tulsi Maharani not only frees you from sinful reactions, it also offers you Krishna Prema. This is the special benediction of Tulsi Maharani. All the other karmakanda process, they will only make you free from sinful reactions. But Tulsi Maharani offers Krishna Prema. Haridas Thakur, when he was at Benapole, And one prostitute, she wanted to disturb Haridas Thakur. So Haridas Thakur felt compassionate towards her. And then, after 3 days, she became a devotee. She also, her mind was changed. She surrendered to Krishna and Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur gave her one instruction. What is that?
Nirantara namalo karatulasi sevan achirat pave tave Krishna racharan.
You simply chant Hare Krishna mantra in front of Tulasi Maharani. What will happen? Achirat. Achirat means very soon. And these two examples are so relevant. And like many of us were like a prostitute or a mrigari. Many are like prostitute or mrigari. But these two examples are so relevant. Whoever you are, even if you are a prostitute, even if you are a mrigari hunter, so sinful, process is very simple.
Nirantara namalo, chant Hare Krishna mantra, nirantara, in the presence of Tulsi Maharani.
It is so powerful. This is the fastest purification process. Fastest process of purification is chanting in front of Tulasi Maharani. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And it is not exaggeration. Seriously. Just like when you see the devotees early in the morning, Brahma Muhurta period, they are all sitting in the circles. They are all chanting Hare Krishna mantra. It is like exactly like in a Satya Yuga or a Treta Yuga, all the sages are sitting around the Yajna Kunda and performing Yajna. Actually, seriously, non-different. In Kali Yuga, when the devotees are sitting in a circle and Tulasi Maharaj is in the center, it is like you are performing Rajasuya Yajna in this Kali Yuga. Even if you are at home, not even in the temple, if some grahastha families, their husband, wife, children, they are sitting at home, but just keep Tulasi Maharaj in the center, every day you are performing Rajasuya Yajna, according to Shastra. You will get more benefits, more blessings than performing your Rajasuya Yajna. This is Tulsi Maharani's special blessings. Or Acharya writes, just like a baby, small baby child, when passes stool or urine, cannot cleanse its body itself. It needs mother's help. But mother is so compassionate. She knows the child is very contaminated. All over his body, his back is filled with the stool and urine. But still, mother every time cleanses the body of a child and then nicely decorates the child, put on nice clothes and decorates the body of a child. And then afterwards, everyone sees the child. Oh, such a beautiful, cute baby, isn't it? Everyone wants to hug that baby, put it in their arms. But when the baby is, all over body, stool is there, nobody wants to take the baby, right? That is mother's duty, mother's compassion for the child. She cleanses the body of a child and decorates her body. Similarly, in this age of Kali, all the living entities, they are like a contaminated jivas, small babies. All over their body, there is a stool and urine. Tulasi Maharani cleanses those bodies, purifies them from all the sinful reactions. And she qualifies all the devotees. She qualifies every living entity so that Krishna will embrace them. Krishna will embrace them. Such a mercy of Sri Tulsi Maharani. Although no one is qualified to be embraced by Krishna, but the devotee, especially like Tulsi Maharani, she intervenes, interferes the karmas of the devotees, and they she brings to that jiva to such a level, even Krishna also becomes attracted to that jiva. That is Tulsi Maharani's special blessings. But in this Kali Yuga, people are so unfortunate. Previously, in the Vedic culture, every home, they would have Tulsi Maharani at the center of the house. And knowingly, unknowingly, all their miseries, diseases, and all the inauspiciousness of the house were removed simply by the presence of Tulsi Maharani and the cow. There was a goshala of every house at the northeast corner. The cows were taken care at the northeast side of the corner of the house, and at the center of the house was Tulsi Maharani. These two personalities were sufficient to purify and take care of all your inauspiciousness. But now, because of this city, there is no place for Tulsi Maharani and no question of cow. Of course, there is a place for dog. Anyway, so this is an unfortunate condition. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, from his house, from Godrumdeep, he looked at towards the east western side of Mother Jalangi, and from distance he saw there was one land covered with tulsi plants. That was Yogapeth, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance place. Amazing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one day, he took a clay pot and filled that clay pot with the sand, mitti, and he personally, he planted a tulsi or a tulsi plant. And then Mahaprabhu told all the devotees, I cannot stay without Tulsi Maharani. It is like a fish out of water. And therefore, wherever Mahaprabhu would walk and chant Hare Krishna mantra, there was at least one devotee all the time carrying Tulsi ahead of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Wherever Mahaprabhu would walk, the devotee would carry Tulsi on his head and walk ahead of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu always, even while walking, he would look at towards Tulsi Maharani and he would chant and simply cry tears. And while sitting, he was always sitting next to Tulsi Maharani. It's Chaitanya Charitamrita explains this. When Prabhupada established ISKCON society, he had only one remorse in his heart. I have introduced all the parts of the aspects of devotional service to everyone, all these my disciples, but there is no Tulsi. For 2 years, first 2 years of ISKCON's start, there was no Tulsi plant. One day, suddenly one devotee in Los Angeles, he brought two Tulsi plants, small Tulsi plants. Prabhupada became so happy. He simply started, he was just gazing at these plants. And he took one of the plant of Tulsi Maharani, kept it on his head, and kept it for a long time. And he started crying. He said, Mahaprabhu, he said, Tulsi Maharani's blessings. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, I am very much obliged. We are very much obliged to our disciple Govinda Dasi. In the Western world, there was no Tulsi. By the hard work of this Govinda Dasi, now we have Tulsi Maharani all over ISKCON society. Now all over the movement, all over the world. So he, even purport, he gives that credit to Govinda Mataji. So in Hawaii, the devotees had planted tulsis even at the entrance of the temple hall. But the tulsi plant had grown so much, almost like 7 feet tall. So whoever would come enter in the temple hall, they would just brush up against the tulsi plant. So one devotee felt like, you know, it is offense toward Tulsi Maharani. So then he went to Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, can we trim some of the branches of tulsis? Because it's very offensive. Prabhupada said, no. Don't cut, don't trim these branches. But then next time again he said, Prabhupada, it's really disturbing. Prabhupada said, okay, you can tie those branches with the cloth or something like that. But then after tying also, the people, they had to bow down and then enter into the temple hall. So one day what he said, Prabhupada, everyone has to bow down first and then enter in the temple hall. Prabhupada said, it's very nice. Everyone has to bow down to Tulsi Maharani and then enter into the temple hall. That is so nice. And Prabhupada, he understood the compassion of Tulsi Maharani. He introduced this highest Tulsi Arati. Tulsi Maharani, please give me the shelter of your lotus feet and Vrindavan Dham. And he not only just one time a day, he introduced twice a day. Morning Tulsi Arati, evening also Tulsi Arati. All over ISKCON centers, ISKCON has two times Tulsi Arati. Right? So, at one place Acharya is right, that if someone has committed severe Vaishnava apradh, knowingly or unknowingly, and you don't even know that you committed offense to some devotees, you will get a reaction. But what is the remedy? If you don't know if you have committed offense to some devotee, Shastra says, for long period of time, you just chant the holy name in the presence of Tulsi Maharani. After prolonged time, you become even free from Vaishnava Aparad. Shastra explains this. Sometimes one becomes free from Vaishnava Aparad also. So what is this personality, Vrinde Devi Tulsi Maharani? Her complexion is molten gold. She wears the blue garments. And her services are like a most important service in Vrindavan Dham. With her right hand, she blesses all the devotees. And in her left hand, she has her pet parrot, Daksha, who has thousands of followers. And they only arranges, she only arranges actually where Krishna and Radha can meet, where the what are the songs will be sung, how the decoration will be done in the kunjas. All these services are decided and performed by Tulsi Maharani Vrinde Devi. So Krishna, he is always anxious to meet Sri Radha. In Vrindavan Dham, it is not, you know, 5 minutes back we met. So, okay, now we can say, okay, now. In Vrindavan Dham, Sri Radha and Krishna, they meet each other. And next moment, again that desire of hankering to meet each other intensifies more. We cannot even imagine this. So, Tulsi Maharani, Krishna, he has a desire all the time to, he's anxious to meet Sri Radha. And all his desires are fulfilled by the efforts of Vrinde Devi Tulsi Maharani. And therefore, Krishna very much indebted and pleased with Vrinde Devi Tulsi Maharani. And he says, whoever serves you at any capacity, while circumambulation or watering the Tulsi plant, or planting the Tulsi plant, or serving in any capacity, Krishna becomes sold out animals of that person. If someone offers a Ganga jal or even an ordinary jal with the Tulsi leaves to Shaligram or Krishna, Krishna becomes sold out animal. You can sell me wherever you like. When Advaita Acharya read this verse from Gautamiya Tantra, he said, now this is the best thing. I want to bring that Supreme Person to deliver this world. And this is the best way. So he sat on the banks of the Ganga, to the Ganga Jal, and with the Tulsi Maharani, he was offering to Shaligram, and with a loud voice, with the craving of this heart, he was loudly chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in this way, simply because of Advaita Acharya's calling, he was offering Tulsi leaves and Gangajal to Krishna, Mahaprabhu had to appear. So similarly, when we offer Tulsi leaves, Tulsi Seva to Krishna, Krishna becomes very pleased. Tulsi Maharani, very beautiful point. Tulsi Maharani is the installed deity. Like in our any temple, first we have the statues made up of marbles. Then the devotees, pure devotees, they perform yajna, like Radha Devi Prabhu and others. And then after performing yajna, so many mantras. After 3-4 days of that process, then the statue becomes a deity. Krishna appears, right? But Tulasi Maharani, that plant, she is an installed deity. There is no need of installation. Just like here we have installed deity. Tulasi Maharani is an installed deity. Sometimes, unfortunately, at our house, some congregation devotees or anyone, they give so much of importance to the deities in the altar. Any deities, Laddu Gopal or any deities, they are so careful about the garlands and the flowers and the dresses and the crown. But sometimes the Tulsi Maharani is neglected. There are cobwebs around the Tulsi Maharani and the twigs are dried up, the leaves are dried up, there is no water. Actually, Acharya says, Tulasi Maharani has come only for us so that we can offer service. So she is an installed deity. Actually, her presence, her glory, her importance is more than any other home standard deities. I am not saying the installed deities. Her importance is more than the home standard deities. Therefore, simply by taking care of the Tulsi plant, she will take care of her whole family. So last one pastime I'll narrate and then it's already 9:20. There are so many things to say. Okay. One beautiful pastime. So Krishna, he became indebted to Sri Radha as Tulsi Maharani. And when Sri Radha saw that Sri Tulsi Maharani always busy serving Sri Radha and Krishna, making so many arrangements all the time, so she also wanted to reciprocate with Tulsi Maharani. So how to reciprocate with her? So she made a plan. All the sakis and the gopis, they brought a big throne. And somehow or other they brought Tulsi Maharani Vrinda Devi and made her sit on the throne. She didn't even suspect what is happening. And then Vishakha Devi, she brought Krishna. And then they made Krishna sat next to Vrinda Devi. Lalita Devi became the head priest. And they started performing the marriage ceremony. All the mantras and the rituals they started doing. And Sri Radha and all the sakis, they performed marriage ceremony of Tulsi Maharani with Krishna, Vrinda Devi with Krishna. This is the most authentic story of Krishna getting married to Tulsi Maharani. You may say we have read so many other scriptures, but actually it may be true, but there are so many cursing and counter-cursing and this and that. Actually it doesn't fit in our mood. If you see the Gaudiya mood, you will never find this. So better to just stick to Gaudiya Sampradaya literatures and our Acharya's mood. So our story, Krishna getting married to Tulsi or Vrinda Devi, is this story. Rupa Goswami writes this. So, and Sanatana Goswami, last one point. Sanatana Goswami says, is it not childish that if someone says, I will go on committing sinful activities throughout my life, but there is one hope. Tulsi Maharani is very merciful. At the time of death, I will cover my whole body with the tulsis, leaves and the malas and everywhere. And then I will become free from all the sinful activities and then sinful reactions, and there are no Yamadutas can approach me. This is cheating to God. Throughout your life you just commit sinful activities, and at the time of death you simply put on tulsi in your mouth. Is it not a cheating? So generally our answer is like, no, you cannot cheat God. If you are not studied throughout your throughout the year, you cannot give exam. Even if you cannot even copy at the last moment. But actually it's not true. Sanatana Goswamiji says that Krishna will give blessing to the jiva. Even if the person has committed sinful activities throughout his life, only sin, only sin, only sin. But at the last moment, he takes some tulsi jal, tulsi leaves, and chants God's name. Krishna will give him a blessing. You know why? Sanatana Goswami writes, it's a test of his faith. Now at least, at the last moment, this person has changed his mind. He has surrendered to me. He has surrendered to Tulsi Maharani. And he is ready to accept the process of surrendering to God, surrendering to me. I give him my blessings. At least this person will give a second chance. He can continue his bhakti. This is the glory of Vrindadevi Tulsi Maharani. Jai Vrindadevi Tulsi Maharani ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.